Going to continue my sermon series this week on the internal enemies that we have. So we all got these issues going on in our heads. Some of us have more than others, I can promise you that, okay? But we got these enemies that spring up, and they're constant enemies, and they steal our joy. They divert our path off the walk that God has planned for us. And they slow us down, and they stunt growth. And it's tough dealing with these, because these are strong issues. And last week, we talked about stress and worry turning into anxiety. And it's amazing, I preach on that subject every 2 years. And when I preach on that subject, it's amazing how many times people will listen to that sermon or how many times they'll follow up with questions. And it just kind of tells us where we are as a society, is that we're besieged with anxiety, okay? And some of these internal enemies that we're trying to fight are causing deep damage in families and friendships and communities. And today, it's a tough subject. I'm just going to warn you, today is a tough subject. It's the damage that unforgiveness does to you. And I can't overstate how much damage unforgiveness can do to you. If you're holding a grudge, if you refuse to forgive someone, if you're waiting on someone who will never ask you for forgiveness or say, I'm sorry, to come to you for that, that's a war you're going to be fighting till the day you go home. Okay? So I'm not preaching to you today just because this is the next subject line on my agenda that I had for this sermon series. I'm preaching because this is a subject that will hold you back, will stunt your growth, and it will make the lines in your eyes right here, make them really, really deep. It will age you. We'll be like Pharaoh, and we'll die from the inside out. Unforgiveness is a cancer that gets in you, and it turns into hate and rage, and you just can't let hate and rage sit around because it metastasizes and it grows. Okay, so yeah, this is a tough subject. I'm just going to tell you, prepare yourself for it, because the gospel deals with this pretty black and white. So I'm telling you today, just prepare. But this is a very vital subject that we have to deal with here. Okay, and there's a story in the Bible, and this is the words of Jesus Christ found in Matthew 18. And I've brought up some key scripture here, but I'm just going to paraphrase it to you. Okay, there's a story that Jesus tells about a master who pretty much had lent out money, was a businessman, and had some loans to some people, was running a business and all that. And then he was ready, I'm paraphrasing here. I don't send me an email after this sermon. He's ready to cash it in and go to Florida, all right? All right, so he's ready to cash it in and just move on. And so he called all of his debts in. And if you owed him money, he wanted his money back, plus the interest and whatever the arrangement was. So he calls in this one guy, and he owes him 10,000 denarii. Whew, it's a load there, okay? And the guy falls at his feet, the guy who owes him money, falls at the master's feet and pleads his case and says, I do not have the money. I don't have it. If you give me time, I'll work to the bone, tooth and nail. I'll do whatever I can to get this money back to you. But I don't have the money. Don't have it. No way I can, there's no water to get out of this rock. I can't give it to you. And so the master looks at him, and he has great compassion for this guy who falls at his feet and pleads his case. And he says, you know what? You're forgiven. You hear what I'm saying? You're forgiven. The amount you owe is great. It's too great for you to pay. I'm forgiving you of this debt as if it didn't ever exist. And then this servant, who owed the amount he could never repay and begged for forgiveness and mercy and grace from this master who could have thrown him into a debtor's prison for the rest of his life because he could have never paid this back. He turns around after being forgiven of this enormous load. He turns around, runs out into the streets, and chases down a guy who owes him 100 denarii. grabs him by the throat and starts to choke the life out of him and says, "You owe me my money. Give me my money now." And people see this. So they report back to the master who had forgiven him of this great debt that he could never repay. And says, "You know what? After you forgave him of that great amount that he could never repay, and you showed all that kindness, he turned around, ran out into the street, and found a guy who owed him 100 denarii and started choking the life out of him because he couldn't repay the debt. So the master calls in this servant who had been forgiven. He was free and clear. He was free and clear. And says, "Hey, I called in the debt that you legally owed me. And then I forgave you of this debt. And all you had to do is show compassion to those who owed you. And you would have been free and clear. But you know what? You can't pay it. You're going to have to suffer the consequences." This is called the forgiven hypocrite in my language. Because this guy was forgiven of an enormous amount. And then he turns around and then starts to try to kill someone for a minuscule amount compared to what he was forgiven for. And you know what? This story sounds awful, and we really judge this hypocrite. I judged him real harshly, didn't I? I put a title up there, "The Forgiven Hypocrite." And you know who this story is about? It's about Aaron Phelps. It's about you. Because we do this very same thing. This is the gospel right here. Forgiveness. It's the restoration of a relationship. And how is it restored? By removing the guilt that existed in that relationship. The actual Greek word that the Bible uses, that we translate into forgiveness, literally translates into to let go. Isn't that great? To just let it go. When I say that, when they sing that Disney song, "Let it go, let it go." Okay. That's how we should sing, right? When Jesus forgives us of our sins, we should break out into song like that, right? And this is usually in regards to a debt that has been obligated, and the obligation is removed. The need to pay it back is never there. You know why? Because the debtor could never pay it back. They're in so much debt that they have to fall at the feet and say, "You'll have to do with me what you want because I cannot pay it back." But thank God we worship a master who says, "You're forgiven, free and clear." And here I put it into my own words of what forgiveness means. It means that I surrender my right. I give up my right to hurt you because you hurt me. And if you think about the perspective of Jesus Christ, who gave up his right as a man, as God, to become a man so that he could die on the cross, he could humble himself enough to the point of death so that you and I could be forgiven of the debt that we could never pay. The very definition of forgiveness. And unforgiveness is the poison that we drink, hoping that it kills the other person. That's pretty black and white, isn't it? But that's what we do to ourselves. We hold a grudge. We have these ill feelings. We meditate on these people, and we think horrible thoughts about them, and we just drag ourselves down into the mud, and we are drinking the poison that we hope will kill the other person. And it just doesn't work out. We're ingesting more and more poison. And here's the thought, okay? If you have clean water and you pump just a little bit of sewage in it, do you want to drink out of the clean water? And that's what we do to our lives and our souls, is that we have clean water and then we want to pump sewage into it and then maintain that we still have clean water. It's impossible. It's a cancer and it's a poison. And we ingest it, and we ingest it by the gallons. What's the destruction? What is the destruction of unforgiveness? Okay. Well, first of all, this is biblical. Okay, straight from the Bible. So, first of all, it prevents God's mercies. Okay, Matthew says, "So my heavenly." This is the end of the story of the forgiven hypocrite. All right, This is the last verse found in that story. It says, so my heavenly Father, this is Christ Jesus, after he has summed up the story, told to the end of it, he's telling all the forgiven hypocrites all around him. He says, so my heavenly Father will also do to you, to each of you, from his heart, if you do not forgive your brother of his trespasses. So here's the deal. Huh? If we don't have a spirit and a heart that is capable of forgiving, then we are blinded by God's mercies. Because we have talked about this, and it's about having a perspective in a biblical Christian mindset. And this is the deal, is that we take on the robe of Christ. And what does that mean? That you have to love the unlovable, you have to forgive the unforgivable, those who will never ask you, will you forgive me, or say, I'm sorry. You have to forgive them. Because if you don't, you're ingesting poison each and every day. And that poison will cause you to be selfish, and you will sit and meditate on how much wrong is being done to you, and then you will turn around and go after the servant who owe you $100 when you couldn't pay back $10,000 to the guy, and he let you go free and clear. And that's what we do, is we get blinded by all the mercies that exist in our life, and we're incapable of seeing God's mercies in our life. And it's all because we are refusing to forgive people. We become unworthy of worship. That is not Aaron Phelps saying it. This is the Bible, okay? If you're holding a grudge, this is what the Bible says. It says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, okay? If you bring your gift to the altar, and there in your mind, you remember that you are crossways with a brother or a sister or someone in your life, okay? The Bible says to do is to set down your gift at the altar, turn around, go find your brother, make it right, and then come back, and now you are worthy to worship. You're worthy to present your gift at the altar. Otherwise, you're not worthy to give it. That's tough language, isn't it? That shows you how critical forgiveness is in our lives. It keeps us from being worthy to properly worship God Almighty. And when we come and we worship God, the Bible says if you have something against a brother, go make it right. Then come back. Now you're worthy to worship. It makes us vengeful. It really does. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in men. If at possible, live peaceably with them. What's that mean? Is get along. Be willing to forgive. Be the first one to say, hey, we got to make this right. We got to come forward and we got to make this right. Okay? Because we are not to avenge ourselves. We are stealing God's vengeance. Because God is the one who is worthy to show vengeance, and vengeance is his. That's what it says right there. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay. It doesn't say vengeance is ours, does it? We don't buy into that. Vengeance is God's. Just like judgment. The Holy Spirit is there to convict, but we want to help the Holy Spirit out, don't we? We want to tell him, hey, you need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit because you're awful. Like the old song, they wanted to change the words, right? I'm surprised you're a part of the family of God. Now they want to rewrite the song. How's it go originally? I'm so glad, yeah. They want to change the words to, I'm surprised you're a part of the family of God. Okay? Because we want to judge people. That's not our job. Our job is to love people. Okay? God's the judge. We are not the judge. We want to convict people. We want to tell them how awful they are. That's not our job either. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And you know what? Vengeance isn't our job either. But boy, we sure want to do it, don't we? And then here's the other one, is that if you give into this and you have unforgiveness sitting around, guess what you're going to grow? You're going to grow roots of bitterness. This is the Bible telling you that if you can't get past this and you can't get past your grudge and you can't forgive people, guess what is going to happen? There's going to be a root of bitterness that takes hold in your heart and soul. And you can't let that sit around. Okay? Because pretty soon, you'll become what's classified as defiled, which means that there's too much sewage been pumped into your clean water. So how do we achieve forgiveness? What are the biblical steps for forgiveness? What does the Bible tell us about forgiveness? Now we know the destruction. Now we know what will happen. It destroys families. This comes in. If you're bitter, that's going to take a hold in even the relationships that you're good in. If you're bitter, that's going to affect your good relationships. There's no way around this stuff. Unforgiveness gets a hold in your heart, and it affects every relationship that you have, whether you think so or not. All right? So how do we get past this? Because this is tough stuff, isn't it? Huh? This is truly where the rubber meets the road on this deal. This is truly tough stuff. So how do we get there? Well, first of all, we have to understand that it is not highly suggested that we forgive, but it is a biblical mandate that we forgive. And what Colossians tells us is, therefore, as the elect, as Christians, okay, holy and beloved. And you say, well, you're calling me holy? Here's the deal. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you believe that He went to cross to die for you, we believe that you become regenerated, have new life put inside of you. You are a new creature created in Christ. Okay? We believe that. And we believe that at that second, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when He comes to live inside of you, He's bringing God the Son and God the Father with Him, all right? So they live in your heart. And then we also believe that you are justified, which means that you're not guilty. You're put back in your state. And then you're sanctified, which means that you're made holy. Well, how are you made holy? Because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And your sins are not stronger than Christ's blood. That's the gospel right there. And then we believe that to be sanctified is a process through the rest of your life. It's called sanctification. And that is your process to where you get better. You don't get bitter, because bitterness will take root. Did you see what the Bible said? It said it will actually grow roots in your soul, bitterness will. And you will get so bitter that will just consume your thoughts and your life, and everything you do will be around that bitterness that exists in your soul. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so this isn't a highly suggested. This is that if you are a Christian and you've been covered by Christ's blood and you are beloved, it says you put on 10, this is what you're supposed to do, is to put on mercies. You're supposed to show mercy to people. You're supposed to show kindness to people. You're supposed to have a spirit of humility, meekness, of patience. Okay? And then when we come together, if you have all these characteristics in you, then you are able to bear up one another, to take their problems and bear them as your own, to celebrate with people, to pray for people, okay? To be able to pray for someone and then not go spread their troubles all around town, but to truly care and pray for them. And then it says that also, if you have these in you, then you will be able to forgive one another. And why is that so important? Because we are the forgiven hypocrites. Christ died for us. He came to earth, became a man, was scourged and put to death so that we have the opportunity to be forgiven. Why would we hold back forgiveness from the people that are around us every single day? Why would we do that? You know what the Bible says? You can't do that. You can't do this. This is the biblical mandate. If you're forgiven, then you have to forgive. And that's the next point, is to get it, you got to be able to give it. All right? It says that for you, and now listen, this is not a quid pro quo here. This isn't a, I forgive, now you give me some forgiveness. This is a condition of the Spirit. It says, for if you forgive men of their trespasses, your Holy Father will forgive you of your sins. And that's the deal. If you're willing to forgive people, then guess what? You're worthy to be forgiven. It's a matter of the Spirit. Sometimes we tell people, I'm sorry, and we don't really mean it. There's a story, Terry Felty, I'll use his name, he don't care. He was my deacon down at Carrier Mills. Wonderful man, love him. I saw him Friday night at Michael, my brother's birthday party. And Michael turned 30 on Veterans Day. We're very proud of Michael. But he had a party, and I got to see Terry. Terry's son lives with Michael, and just a wonderful man. He tells this story about him and his brother got into this knockout brawl, and they were just going at it. And then the mom came in and was sitting them down and said, hey, you're going to say sorry to each other. You're going to forgive each other. You're going to shake hands like men and get by this. Okay, and so they were all sitting around there, and they were, like, shaking hands. And the middle brother who probably started it all, he just wasn't giving into it. He just wasn't going to have any forgiveness. His mom said, you're going to forgive him or I'm going to light you up. And he goes, okay. He goes, I'm sorry. He goes, I'm a mad sorry, but I'm sorry. And that's what we are. Sometimes we're sorry, but boy, we're mad about it. Really? I forgive you, but boy, I still want to kill you. That kind of deal. Can't have that. That's not a true reflection of a forgiving spirit. And here's what the Bible says, is that he'll look inside of your heart, inside of your chest. He'll look at your spirit there. And he'll see, are you capable of giving forgiveness? Because that's what it takes to know that you are truly regenerated. And then I'll forgive you. It's limitless. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Huh? Up to 7 times? How many times you got to let me get scorned by somebody? How many times you got to let me get cheated by somebody? 7 times? And Jesus says, I don't mean 7 times. I mean 70 times 7 times. Okay? And I know, I can see you guys, some of you in your eyes, you're adding it up right now. 490. Good, I got some people in the low 400s. They're about to run out of room with me. It's not what he's saying here. It's limitless. Because think about this. When you walked up to the altar to give your, wherever it was, you gave your heart to the Lord, did you negotiate with him on limits? Did you say anything about limits? What'd he say? I went to cross to die for you, and I'll pay for all your sins. All of them. You got some horrible things going on in your life? I don't care. You got a horrible past? I don't care. You got horrible thoughts? I don't care. You accept me as your Savior? Be willing to forgive? Here it is. Complete and utter atonement. So forgiveness should be limitless. There's no limit on it. That's not from Aaron Phelps. That's from Jesus Christ. Forgiveness restores relationships. Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians, this is a letter to a specific church, talking about conduct in the church, how to handle a church, how to grow a church, how to get it healthy. Okay? It says if anyone in your congregation, this is speaking to a church, but we can tighten a circle on this and bring it into families too, okay? It says, so if any of you have done wrong, and you've grieved some people, you've done them wrong, okay? It says there that, here's the deal. If you're going to forgive them, forgive them. And then it says there that don't hold it on them, okay? You ought to rather forgive them and comfort them, okay? Because here's what we do sometimes is, now look, I've been married almost 18 years. I know the gig, all right? I play it myself. Here's what we do inside of families. And if you don't do this, come talk to me after church because we're giving you a medal. Okay, we're nominating you for some kind of award here. But here's what we do inside of families is when Ariane does something wrong, she's not here, so I can pick on her, okay? All right, I'll turn it the other way. When I do, we'll just do this because I'll end up being a bad guy anyways, okay? When she hurts my feelings, and then she comes to me and we talk it out, and she says, I'm sorry, and I say, I forgive you. What the Bible says is that if you truly forgive, then it's over. Because that's the way Jesus Christ did, right? When we came to him, he truly forgave us. That's it. End of story. Your sins are no longer remembered. They're as far as the east is from the west, right? But inside of families, what do we want to do? I'll tell you what I do. I forgive her, but then the next 2 months, she's still going to earn it, right? We had pizza the other night, and I didn't bring my glasses into the restaurant, and I couldn't see the little writing, and it was too dark in that place. And I told her, pick out a pizza I can eat. And I started eating that pizza, and I was like, this is the best pizza I've ever eaten. It's like, I can taste like smoke or something. I was like, this is amazing, like the smoke from the oven. It's just a wonderful thing. And I was just chowing down on that piece of pizza, and I got to the crust of mine, and Ariane said, I think that's bacon. And I can't eat bacon. I have an EpiPen for bacon, okay? And so I was like, what? I told you to read the menu. And she's like, well, I didn't read all of it. And so I looked at the menu. The very last ingredient on the description was honey smoked bacon. And boy, it was smoked with some honey, man. I'm telling you. I hadn't had bacon in a year. And it was wonderful. I mean, I'd forgotten what bacon tasted like. And I was just blown away by how great that was. And she felt awful. I got sick. She felt awful. But, you know, in love, I've been reminding her of it, of course, for the last... okay, like... But we can't do that. And here's the seriousness of it. Is inside of a marriage, you're going to start resentment and bitterness. And then here's what happens. Is if you still hold it over their head, if you're still trying to get them to earn that forgiveness, like, I forgave you, but, you know, you got to be careful around me. I'm not so sure of you anymore. That's not forgiveness. That's maybe the first step towards forgiveness. And then at some point, what's going to happen is the person who had said, I'm sorry, is going to come back to you and say, I'm not sorry. I was really trying to kill you with that bacon, okay? That's what ends up happening. And this is what the Bible is telling you here. And it uses it in a congregational setting. Because here's what can happen too. Someone can fall down or do something, or and we hold it over their head. You know, back in this day, if you were unclean, you had to announce it. You had to announce you were unclean back in the biblical days. And we don't want people walking around thinking that they're still unclean. Just because of something that happened. And then there's been some mistakes made back in 1970s or 80s, depending on how old you are, or 40s, or however old you are, okay? And that's still being held against you. You're still kind of marked with that. Okay? Little kids who are hyperactive, don't tell me they don't get marked. You know, little Jimmy's hyperactive, and you can hear the wheels going in his body, you know, and he sits still like this. Because he can't sit still. Don't tell me that little Jimmy, you know, is like, there's Jimmy. Oh, my Lord, Jimmy. Yeah, when Jimmy might turn out to be, you know, a docile 13-year-old. But there's still some people thinking, nah, Jimmy's he's a handful, isn't he? Jimmy was when he was six. Who wasn't a handful when they were six, right? And that's what happens. And that's what happens inside of congregations and communities. And it's what happens inside of marriages. So what Jesus Christ is telling you is if you're going to forgive, then forgive and forget. There's the hard part, right? The forgetting. Because if you think you have forgiven somebody, have a bad day. And then what's the first thing you want to do? Is go find the guy that you forgave and really show him how much you really forgave him. So what the Bible is saying, that this is wrong. And this is where the whole equation falls apart. Falls apart because we aren't willing to just totally forgive someone. We got to make them earn it a little bit. You know what Jesus says? I didn't make you earn it at all. There was absolutely nothing you did to get your forgiveness and your salvation. It was all on me. There's not anything that you can brag about. And we are required to forgive in the same way. And here's if you move on to verse 11 there, it says, who's going to take advantage of all that stuff? Satan himself. He's waiting on that to dangle out. In a situation of forgiveness, Satan is right there waiting. In the first little time somebody dangles out some earning it, he's going to be all over that. And he's going to be talking to him and say, yeah, you were really forgiven, weren't you? Huh? They didn't forgive you. You're making you earn it still today, aren't you? Huh? You're not really sorry. They're going to be like that. Who wants to be sorry? See how it all works? And next thing you know, it's worse than it was before the prior offense ever happened. And forgiveness is a matter of love. Therefore, I say to you, this is a story about Jesus with the woman who poured the oil on his feet, dabbed it with her hair. Okay, and Jesus, the Pharisees were like, if you knew who that woman was, you wouldn't let her touch you, let alone, you know, rub oil all over your feet and all that. And he said, hey, I came here and you didn't even give me a proper handshake or a hug or a kiss on the cheek. And since she's been here, she hasn't stopped showing her true love to me as her Savior. And here's the deal. Listen to this. Isn't this wonderful? He says, her sins are many. She has sinned like nobody. She is a champion of sin. But she is forgiven because she loved a whole bunch. You understand what the concept is here? And if you don't, he goes on to explain it. To little is forgiven requires little love. You hear what I'm saying to you? If there's just a little thing to be forgiven for, that just requires just a little love. But if you've got a great big thing to forgive, that requires a whole bunch of love right there. And here's the deal. God's love is limitless. regardless of what sins you've committed or what you came to him with, a bucket full of sin or a dump truck full of sin. You know what he said? My grace is sufficient. My blood will cover every ounce, every one of your offenses. You are truly forgiven. And what does he say to us? Now you're required to go out and to forgive. And you say, Jesus, you don't know how much people have hurt me. You don't know what all they've done to me. You know what he says? It will require a whole bunch of love in order to forgive. Just like your forgiveness required a whole bunch of love and sacrifice. Amen? But thank God that we have a Savior who didn't count our offenses one by one and make us earn it, and is still making us earn it today. You know what he said? Come to me and I will give you rest. I will go and prepare a mansion for you. And the promise is that I will come back to take you with me forever. Because you believe that I am your Savior and you accept my sacrifice at Calvary. And now my blood covers you. And when you stand before the throne of judgment, you don't have to give all this kind of stuff, all the merits and all the good deeds you've done and all that. All you have to do is stand there and wait for Jesus to say, this one is bought and paid for by my blood. They belong to me. They're going to heaven. And that is what forgiveness is all about. We lose sight of the prize here. And the prize is heaven. The prize is not here. Now, there's a lot of work to be done here. Don't get me wrong. Don't just cash it all in. It says, preacher says we're all going to heaven. Let's just go to heaven. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. There's a lot of work that needs to go on here. There are a lot of people in need. And you know where it can all start? Where the change in the world can start? I'm being serious. This is serious stuff here now. Where the change in the world can start is right here, right now at Star Church when we get our hearts right and say, you know what? I can finally forgive so-and-so. You say, well, that's not a big deal. That might have required a whole bunch of love. And a whole bunch of love can change this world. You know how I know? Because God is love. The Bible tells me that. All right? Here's my final point, okay? This is a personal matter too. And this is where I want to talk just for a second. Some of us are carrying around baggage for years and years and years. And you've accepted Jesus Christ's blood covering you. You've accepted his sacrifice. You've accepted that, and you know that he's forgiven you. You know he died on the cross for you. But here is the truth in the matter. And this is where I need some of you to really get to today. Because this is stunning your growth. You can't get past this moment. And this moment is that, yeah, Jesus died for me, and Jesus is wonderful, and he's forgiven me of my sins. But you've never forgiven yourself. You've done something horrible. There's been something in your past that you just can't get past it. And you're still holding yourself guilty on that. And here's what I want to tell you today, is that Romans says there is no guilt found in those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because they no longer walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit. And what that means is that if Jesus Christ can lay down his life and die for you so that you can be forgiven, then it's time, it is truly time for you to have an internal talk with that enemy that has been defeating you for days, years, or months, or decades, or whatever it is, and is talking to you and is still holding you accountable for that wrong. And it's time to forgive yourself. Because if you can't forgive yourself, then you'll never get past it. And you'll never be able to move past that wrong, ever. So I'm telling you today that, yeah, this is an issue between brothers and sisters. And some of you today, the person you're picturing, they are never going to think they're wrong, okay? It's not going to happen. They're never coming to you and saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That's never going to happen. But the grudge and the hatred inside that you have for them takes roots of bitterness, and it takes over your soul, it takes over your mind, and we just might as well take all the control in our life and just hand it back to them and say, here you go. You control my life anyways, so here it is. Just take all the rest of it. Because that's what they're doing. They're still controlling. They're stunning. They're allowing your growth to be stunted. They're allowing your relationships to be hurt by this. I'm telling you, it happens. Happens to preachers. I had it going on in my life. I had to get right with people before God truly blessed my ministry. Had to happen. I was holding grudges. Can't do that. You cannot do that. Can't happen. He's not going to bless someone who's holding a grudge. You say, well, you don't really, I understand. And they're never going to, I understand. They will never, I understand. I get it, okay? God showed us an enormous, limitless amount of love. It's time for us to show the same kind of love to those, even those who hate and want wrong for us. So I'm asking you to stand this morning. All right, take a breath. It's over. I told you it was going to be tough. This is a tough gospel. Forgiveness is a tough gospel. And sometimes we've been carrying it, this unforgiveness, we've been carrying it since childhood. Someone did us wrong, didn't own up to some responsibilities that they had. I get it. Okay? Someone didn't own up when we were teenagers or something. Somebody did us wrong. Somebody did us wrong last week. Somebody did us horribly wrong. Did wrong with our kid. You know, I get it. I get it. Okay? I get it. There's a story about a young boy, got his driver's license, was going out on the night, got hit by another 16-year-old celebrating his 16th birthday. But he did it with alcohol, got in a car, drove drunk home. He hit the other boy head on. The boy who was not drinking died on impact. The other boy came out without a scratch. The mom and dad of this boy who died, that was their only child, devastated, absolutely devastated. The mother took on great rage and anger for that boy. I read this story. She said she thought about at night as she was going to bed about finding him and all the things that she could do to him. Or seeing him in town, walking and running over him. I mean, she said, I was thinking horrible, horrible thoughts. And this went on for years. And her husband was trying to get past this. But see, he couldn't get past it because his wife couldn't get past it. Okay? They couldn't get past it as a family. And he thought, I'm at my end here with this marriage. I've lost my son, and now this is going to cost me my marriage to my best friend. Because she's becoming someone consumed with this. That's all she wanted to talk about and how much hurt she had and all that. And yeah, you would. You would. So they went to church and they went to the altar. And she said, we went and prayed. And finally she just unloaded this load onto the altar and says, I can't do it anymore. It's killing me. It's killing me. I've aged 20 years in 2 years here. And so they started coming together. This is a true story. They went out and found the boy who killed their son. And they started a relationship with that boy. They went to his high school graduation. Listen to me, this is a true story. They helped pay for his college. They took the college savings that they had for their son who was killed by this boy on a drunken night. They took that money and put to this kid's college education. They were there with him when he graduated his bachelor's, and then when he graduated with a master's degree. And they helped pay for it. And now he has kids. And guess what his kids call this couple? Grandma and Grandpa. An unbelievable story of forgiveness. But it's a story of love. And now they have a family. They have a son. Is it the son they thought they were going to raise after 16 years? No. But it's an amazing story. With God's help, anything is possible. It's what the Bible says. If you try to do this on your own, you're going to fail. But with God's help, this is possible. So here's what I'm telling you, is for us to become the church that God created us to be, we got to get rid of the unforgiveness that's plaguing us and giving us cancer and causing us rage and bitterness. We got to get past it. So I'm pleading with you today. If you got some in your heart, you don't have to step off of this altar today and say, I am totally forgiven that person. But we got to get the first steps going on. We have got to get the first steps going on. I'm opening up the altars to you this morning.